Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on King of OX.
We do continue on here on a Friday evening, taking you into your weekend. Still coming up this hour, Kevin Wheeler is going to join us in about 10 minutes or so. We'll get into the Cardinals' moves of the last 2 days. Our weekly conversation with Patrick Mahomes, courtesy of our sister station, 96.5 The Fan in Kansas City. And also a conversation with Rachel Zimmerman to preview tonight's Rachel Zimmerman show. That's all on the way this hour. Wanted to touch on a couple baseball things here in this first segment. First off, just this is going to be a weird offseason. I was actually thinking about this, and I like the direction the Cardinals are going, and I am appreciative of the fact that they are going to reset player development and trying to get themselves back to a point where they can more consistently be contending at a high level. That being said, what is a little bit of a bummer is seeing potential free agents and knowing, you know what, this is just the offseason, this is just the year where the Cardinals are not going to be involved in it. And a lot of the high-end guys, they probably weren't that involved with. Oh, Sonny Gray was a high-end guy, and they were involved with him. But just as I've seen news, it's kind of this empty feeling of, okay, the hot stove's going to look a little different, going to feel a little different this year with the way things are going on. But it could be an interesting offseason. Some of these teams that are already all in seem to be willing to go further all in. The Dodgers are going to spend more money. The Yankees are going to spend more money. I mean, the Mets, I think, have proven to themselves that they're ready to compete, so they're probably going to jump back in to the deep end of the financial side of things as well. And another name to add to that group is left-hander Blake Snell. He has exercised his right to opt out of his contract with the Giants to become a free agent for a second straight year. He had agreed in March to a $62 million two-year contract. That included $17 million signing bonus on January 15th, 2026, $15 million salary for 2024, $30 million salary for 2025, 15 of which would have been deferred, and now he has decided to opt out of that contract, and he's going to try to get more years, obviously. That's part of what Blake Snell is doing. While he opts out, one player with Cardinal connections who opts in, and I got to tell you, I love it. I love this so much. Jordan Montgomery has opted in not long after the chairman or the managing partner, the owner of the Diamondbacks, went out and just trashed them and said that basically put the lack of success of the Diamondbacks this year, placed it squarely on the feet of Jordan Montgomery, which was just wild. And a lot of people thought that he was attempting to get Montgomery to opt out of his deal, which that's not how you do it. If you're an agent for Jordan Montgomery, and he's changed agents since last year, he's not a Boris guy anymore. The moment you hear those comments, you're opting in. The moment Ken Kendrick said that he made a horrible decision, that was the quote, horrible decision to pursue Montgomery. The moment he says that, Montgomery has to opt in. And now I'm sure the Diamondbacks will attempt to trade him, because that's something that's hard to come back from. $22.5 million, nobody's going to take a $22.5 million contract off of the Diamondbacks' hands for Jordan Montgomery. So, look, maybe he does come back and they just go through a very awkward sort of thing when they pass each other in the proverbial halls. But if not, this ends up costing the Diamondbacks money because they trade him. Does somebody pick up 11 of it, 15 of it? Like, I don't know what the number is that you feel comfortable with on Jordan Montgomery, but it's certainly not $22.5 million. So after Kendrick made those comments about him, which he just should have never made, my hope at this point, this is kind of petty, on behalf of Jordan Montgomery, my hope is that they trade him. They trade him to a good team. That good team is unwilling to pick up much of his contract, so the Diamondbacks get to spend much of this next year paying him to play for another team, and I hope Montgomery does well. I would think he will do much better when he has a full spring training, unlike what happened this past year. All right, we'll take a break, and when we come back, our good friend Kevin Wheeler is going to join us. We'll talk through the Cardinals' moves the last couple days. That's next here on KMOX.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX as we continue on with our Friday show. Matt Pauly with you and joined right now by the former host of this program, now part of the Dave
Glover
Show.
Former host.
No.
You're the man.
And also now part of the gang at the Gas House Gang, literally, which
we're
is starting
members.
On Monday. We are in the most non-serious way possible. We are indeed gang members. It is our good friend Kevin Wheeler. Hey, Wills.
What's going on, buddy?
Not much. So let's start with this. Starting on Monday, we're going to be doing kind of what we've been doing on Mondays recently, but we're putting a name to it, and we're putting more days to it.
And we're doing it every day,
It's going to be myself, you, Bernie Miklas, Tom Ackerman. It's the Gas House Gang on all of our social media channels, live at noon as a video show, and then audio-wise available later on all podcast platforms, and then it'll air 8 o'clock at night here on KMOX, assuming that we don't have any games that evening. Monday will be all four of us. Tuesday through Friday will be some combination generally of two of us, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
And I think for the big news, we'll get all four of us together for those things too, right?
Yes, yeah.
Like if there's a big trade, I'm sure that we'll all assemble like the Avengers and come together to offer thoughts and takes.
We did that on that Tuesday, and it was great. It was fantastic. Yep. So that's going to be a lot of fun. And again, not to pat ourselves on the back, but to pat ourselves on the back. I think when you take the institutional knowledge and just the knowledge of the game of baseball of the four of us and the different places we have all been, it creates an environment for a very interesting baseball conversation.
Yeah, the way I'm putting it is this. We have so many great baseball people in this town. I don't want to claim that, like, we're the Mount Rushmore. That's not, no.
Right.
There's no such thing. There's too many good baseball people in St. Louis for that to be the case. But what I will say, and this is where I will pat us all four on the back, not just me. I don't think you'll find anywhere where you're going to have four at one time in one place that can bring more baseball knowledge to the table at that moment, right? Like, again, I mean, there are a lot of great people out there, but Derek Gould's one of our favorites. He's not a part of the Gas House Gang unless we can arrange something later on, you know, player to be named later. But, like, he's amazing. That's not my point, is that we're not better than that. We're not better than Randy Carricker, who's one of the best baseball guys in town. It's just that you're not going to find four people in one place, at one time, all at once, every single week, which will be Mondays for all four of us, compared to this. So you want the real deal. That's what you're going to get, the real deal.
Every day, 12 noon, and hopefully people can. And if you're watching live, there is the ability to comment on what we're talking about.
Yep. So you can ask questions, whatever.
It's not overly interactive, but we do have the interactive ability.
Yeah, maybe as we go, you know, because we'll see, because we're still kind of putting it all together. Sure. It may end up being that we do more of that. It may be as simple as, hey, send us questions via Twitter. You know, send them at Matt Pauly. Well, I forget what the end of yours is because it just comes up on air.
Yeah.
And mine's just my name and a number.
Why do you have 94?
94 is the year I graduated college. Okay. When I set up an account, I had to come up with something because my damn name was taken.
I didn't think that Twitter was going to be a thing when it started, and I got that one wrong.
It's definitely, and you know what? Here's the thing. It's been several different things. Yeah. Now it's a whole different thing, but it's still useful to me as a tool for work.
I once had an interaction.
It's a little less fun than it used to be, but it's still useful.
I had an interaction with the person once who has the at Matt Pauly Twitter. I was trying to get it from him. He wasn't going to give it up. He's a guy in West Virginia.
Okay.
There's a lot of, when I lived in, this has not happened since I lived in Colorado. So I went Colorado, Wisconsin, and then here. When I lived in Colorado, I can't tell you how often people would hear my last name and go, are you related to the Paulies in West Virginia? It's like, no, that never happens here.
Really?
But in Colorado, at least once a month.
So maybe there's some connection there.
Yeah, I don't know. At least once a month, people would ask me, oh, are you part of the Pauly clan from West Virginia?
Oh.
Nope.
I don't know.
No, I'm not.
I get those every once in a while, but I get asked about them. Like, there's been a few different Wheelers that are broadcasters, Chris Wheeler and others that have done it. And I always get asked, I'm like, nope, none of them. I do wish that I was, related to Zach Wheeler, because then I could hit him up for some money.
Yeah, that'd
be
good.
He's done pretty well for himself.
I'm not related to Jane Pauly either.
No?
No.
What about Pauly Shore?
No.
But wait, that's not how that works.
I used to, and it's spelled different. He's P-A-U-L-Y, yeah. No E. I saw him once, though, at the Funny Bone at Westport years and years ago, and he sold T-shirts that said Pollywood. Of course, I had to buy one.
Yeah, you got to get one of those.
Yeah, so I had I don't know where it is now, but I had a Pollywood shirt.
Yep.
All right, so the Cardinals make a move today as they have claimed off of waivers. Robert Munoz, he comes over from the Marlins. I mean, the tons of fastball velocity, not a whole lot of command, has had very little success in the big leagues. Even his AAA numbers this past year weren't
great. All his minor league numbers total are not good.
Yeah.
Like, he's a 5.01 ERA in the minor leagues. He was in the sixes in the major leagues last year in 17 starts, 18 appearances. And I think by a lot of measures was one of the worst pitchers in baseball last year. But I want to be clear about this. But he's always worked as a starter, including in the minor leagues. I think the only relief appearances he had were his first professional year. There's like 10 relief appearances. I think he's been almost entirely a starter throughout that time. Here's what he has. He throws 95. His average fastball last year was in the top third of Major League Baseball. So he's got a good fastball. Average 95 as a starter. You probably knock that up 97, 98 if he's working one inning at a time as a reliever. But he's got significant command problems, and he hasn't really honed in on an off-speed pitch that he can lock in and throw for strikes. He's got several. He throws a slider, he throws a cutter, he throws a change. None of them had any success last year, right? Like, none of them were any good. But what I would envision here is, number one, it's mostly just a depth move for Memphis, okay? This is a 24-year-old guy with physical ability. And it's probably a Memphis move. It's to have some bodies at Memphis, maybe a guy that you can bring up if you needed somebody for something. But I think it'd be an interesting project. Like, I personally, if I were running the team, would call Rodri and his agent today and say, listen, buddy, welcome to the Cardinals. You're now a reliever. We are going to see how you work in 1 and 2 inning stints. We're going to see if we can't simplify your repertoire a little bit, improve fastball command, maybe throw it a little harder because you only have to throw an inning at a time. And then we'll figure out, hopefully using some form of a pitching lab, which pitch works best with your fastball. I would love to see this guy, because I think the comp, I referenced this on Twitter earlier, I'd be curious to see what you think, Matt. I think the comp is something similar to what you did with Jojo Romero.
Yeah.
So Romero with Philadelphia was a failed starter. He was a guy that threw hard, had a good arm, had problems with command, and didn't seem to be in the plans for the Phillies. And they were going with veteran bullpen, right? They went out and got Gregory Soto, and they have Jose Alvarado. They had all kinds of guys. They had a veteran bullpen. And, you know, they obviously were like, we can afford to part with this guy. But the Cardinals took him, transitioned him to a different role, took him out of a starting role, made him a reliever, and all of a sudden you got a weapon. I don't want to say that I think Munoz can be at that level, but it can be a similar concept. And this is what you should be doing when you're in the position the Cardinals are in now. Young physical talent that you might be able to tweak and mold a little bit to get a useful piece out of.
To take that comp, though, I then remind fans, and I know you said it's a Memphis move, don't forget Romero got here But even the next year, he was competing for a job, and he didn't win a job.
That's right.
He was back in Memphis in 2023.
He spent most of that year in Memphis. Yeah.
It wasn't until 2024 that he became...
That he opened with the team.
Yeah. End of 2023, he established himself. 2024, he established himself as a 162-game big league pitcher. So if that's the play, well, then just remember what... Everybody appreciates JoJo Romero and looks back at that move now and says the Cardinals won that, but it took them a year and a half, 2 years for them to win it.
And that's not as big a problem now as it would have been in any of the recent offseasons, because in the recent offseasons, your goal was, what can we do to close the gap to win the division, make the playoffs, make a playoff run? This year, it's more of a, let's see what we can do. We need to cut back on payroll because of the TV thing. And I'm speaking as the team, not what you and I think. But their position is, of course, hey, listen, we're losing revenue, so we're going to be cutting back on this. And they are also desperately in need. Forget the money. They are desperately in need of resetting the way they do things, the way they think about the game, the way they develop players, the way that they can help a guy like Munoz or Romero adapt to a new role or make mechanical changes they need to reevaluate all of that and redo all that. And it just doesn't happen overnight. So this is kind of do you play video games?
No, not really.
So if you guys out there that are gamers, you'll understand this. There are times where sometimes your game freezes. I think the Cardinals have frozen. And what you do in that case is you turn the power off, you unplug it for 10 seconds, you plug it back in and you reset.
Take the Nintendo cartridge out and you blow on it.
I think that's what the Cardinals need. They don't need to rebuild. They don't need to destroy everything, but they do need to go through that process of resetting things.
All right, so something that's not being talked about a lot that I do think is notable with this move and the moves that were made yesterday with Middleton, Lynn, and Gibson, and the Middleton actually move didn't actually impact the 40-man roster because he was on the 60-day, but the 40-man roster is now at 36.
Yeah.
This offseason, among others... Tink Hintz, TK Roby, Trent Baker, Alex Cornwell, Andre Granillo, Matt Swanson, players who the Cardinals would need to put onto the 40-man roster to protect without them being eligible to be picked up by another team. So it's at 36 right now.
Is that after like Goldschmidt and all that too?
Yeah.
Okay.
The deadline to add Rule 5 eligible players to the 40-man roster, November 19th. That's not that far out. So... there's some pressure on the Cardinals if they say want to remove some players from the big league roster in order to protect more Rule 5 eligible players, whether that is Arenado, Michaelis, Mats, Contreras, Gray, whoever. Well, that November 19th deadline is there. I don't think many of those moves would be made before November 19th, but it is a date to remember.
Not the big ones, right? I mean, you're not going to be able to pull, I wouldn't think, like an Arenado deal or a Sonny Gray thing or anything like that by then. So you're probably looking more at the back end of the 40-man roster. And, you know.
But if Michaelis and Mats are not in your plans at all, it would behoove you to not have them on the roster on November 19th.
Well, the problem, though, is I agree.
Yeah.
But the problem is I'm sure they're going to want at least some salary relief to move on from those guys. And I don't see that happening that fast because other teams are going to be like, well, we need to see what we can get in free agency, or we need to see if we can get somebody better than Miles Michaelis as opposed to doing it. But if you're looking up and down, there are guys like, I'm not saying any of these guys should go. I'm just saying there are guys, these are the guys you could go with Ryan Ludos. There are guys like that can be removed from the 40-man that are not really going to, I mean, like, I don't know that Riley O'Brien is locked in, given the injuries and the inconsistency, although you want to, that's the kind of guy you probably want to keep around because of the stuff. But, you know, there are a few others. Jose Fermin could come off.
Yeah.
You know, players, like, even if he got claimed, you have replacements for a guy like that. So they're not a ton, and it would mostly be pitching that you would need to consider moving people off that 40-man. But I think there's enough wiggle room there where you can keep the guys you need to of that group. Because you're not exposing Tink Hintz. That's a given.
Right.
Right. And how many guys did you just list there that need protection?
This isn't everybody, but it's the notable ones.
The notable ones.
Hintz for me is an easy yes.
Yep.
TK Roby is an easy yes.
I think so, because you traded for him and he's got stuff.
Yeah. After that, the other notable names on there, Trent Baker, Alex Cornwell, Andre Granillo, Matt Swanson.
Yeah. The one of those that appeals to me is probably Swanson.
Okay.
He had a really good year, and he's a big guy, throws a hard sinker. You could easily see him profiling as a big part of your pen, even this year. Not big part, but a part this year and a bigger part down the road. But even him, none of those guys are quote-unquote top prospects.
Right.
So you might take the risk because you can get similar guys in the Rule 5.
Yeah, there will be many guys just like that who are and I would they were active in the Rule 5 last year. It obviously really, really worked out for them with Ryan Fernandez.
Right.
If you go find another Ryan Fernandez in the Rule 5 draft, you have done your job.
Yeah.
And I would believe that Heim Bloom had a lot to do with Ryan Fernandez being
the Boston background. Yeah.
So let Heim oversee that Rule 5 process.
And then keep in mind, by doing it that way, if you expose some of those guys that are comparable to other people that will be available in the Rule 5, by the Rule 5 draft at the end of the winter meetings, you may have moved some of those other guys and created a roster spot that at the moment doesn't necessarily exist.
Exactly. Last thing for you, I was not at all surprised by the three guys not having their options picked up. There seemed to be like some... The news cycle started to shift towards, hey, maybe the Cardinals are going to bring back Kyle Gibson. I never, ever bought that. I always thought that they were going to move on from him. Look, if he doesn't get an offer that he likes and they come and they at some point say, you know what, it'd be nice to have a veteran guy in the rotation. Let's say they trade a Gray, they trade a Fetty, they move on from Michaelis and Gibson is still out there. Maybe there's a conversation to be had at some point, but to me, those moves were easy moves to make.
I agree. And again, just to make this point, there will be similar guys to Gibson in free agency that are not Kyle Gibson, right? He had a better year this year than he did the year before. And you don't need someone like the way that I look at this is to me, I agree with you, by the way. I never thought they were going to pick up the option because they're trying to save payroll money, right? Well, you might be able to save on Michaelis and you might be able to save on Mats, but you don't know that right now. So if you pick up Gibson, there's a chance you're stuck with all of them.
Right.
And you don't have room for all of them.
No.
Because you mentioned Sonny Gray and Eric Fetty, and then you got Steven Matz and Andre Pallante and Michael McGreevy and Gordon Graceffo. Like, you got a lot of people you want to get a look at as rotation pieces. You can assess that later. So if you do trade Fetty or you do trade Sonny, you can now go back to Kyle Gibson or a similar guy and say, I mean, God, there's some other interesting guys out there for this kind of thing, too. What about John Means is a bad example because he just had his second Tommy John in June. So, but a player that's a free agent that's looking for a pillow deal where, like, as an example, would be what Detroit did with Jack Flaherty.
Right.
You can look for a guy like that on a one-year deal at $14 million later on and, you know, maybe find yourself a tradable piece or a guy you end up wanting to keep. But you don't have to do that now. And by doing it now, you're really tying yourself up.
The Pittsburgh Pirates are really good at signing those guys and then trading them at the deadline.
Yeah, except they didn't trade Aroldis Chapman.
No.
That was weird. But I mean, like that's the kind of free agent we are going to be thinking about.
Right.
If they're looking at free agents, it's going to be guys looking for bounce back years where you're going to get a one-year deal and you can say, man, worst case, maybe this guy bounces back and we trade him. Or if it's a fit and it's good, maybe we try to negotiate something beyond that. And there are a few guys out there that have been good in the past that are either coming off bad years or coming off injuries that could fit that kind of pillow deal type structure.
It's going to be a lot more conversations like this starting on Monday with the Gas House Gang, 12 noon, Monday through Friday on all the KMOX Sports social channels. You can watch it, then you can listen back to it in podcast form where you get your podcast, and you can listen
anywhere
back
you
to
get
it.
Your podcast.
Yes, and 8 o'clock after Sports Open Line, we'll air it a replay. So
it's everything you want it to be.
It is.
It's a live TV show. It's an on-demand TV show. It's a live radio show. It's a podcast.
It's everything.
It's everything.
We just check off all the boxes.
All in one place.
Wheels, have a good weekend.
All right, buddy. You too.
That's Kevin Wheeler. I'm Matt Pauly. This is a Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX. Welcome back in. It's a Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. It is that time of the week where we listen in to a conversation with Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes. He has it each week with our sister station, 96.5 The Fan in Kansas City. Of course, here at KMOX, we are your home for Chiefs football in St. Louis. And as the conversation between Carrington Harrison and Patrick Mahomes began earlier this week, Mahomes had his annual gala to go along with his foundation, the 15 and the Mahomes Foundation. They do a lot of work dedicated to improving the lives of children. The foundation supports initiatives that focus on health, wellness, communities in need of resources, and other charitable causes. It's an organization that has been around since 2019 and has really done a lot of amazing things. And as Mahomes started his conversation, talked a little bit about the event that he held earlier in the week.
It went great, man. It's always great to see all the support that that we have in the community here for Kansas City, and it was the biggest one we've had yet, and it just keeps getting bigger, and it really is truly remarkable to see that everybody wants to come out and support not only me but the community and everybody that I work with. So it was a lot of fun.
We obviously know a lot of your on-the-field goals. What is a charity goal that you have? I got a chance to go to Indianapolis, and Peyton Manning has a children's hospital in Indianapolis. You have the ability to do very similar things here in Kansas City. What are some charity goals that you have?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I have like an ultimate goal of where I want it to end up at. I just want to keep growing it and just keep impacting kids from underserved communities and kids that just want to follow their dreams. And if I can keep doing that, then I think I will be happy with whatever the end goal ends up becoming.
You've built the park that's pretty close to the plaza. Now that Sterling and your little ones are getting old enough, have you had a chance to take them down there so they could play at the park?
Yeah, they've been able to play at the park. They enjoyed it. The hope is that I can keep doing stuff like that throughout the community. I mean, not only parks, but I've partnered with the Boys and Girls Club now, and we're going to try to help upgrade and keep those facilities at top-tier stuff. And so as long as we can keep improving stuff for kids to have the ability to go out there and follow their dreams and have fun and meet people and have new friends, I think that would be really cool to do.
You mentioned it a little bit about the growth you've seen in your charity over the years. How cool is it to see that community buy in? It's not just your teammates. It's the community that has really come out to support your charity as well.
Yeah, it's really cool. I mean, that's the special thing about Kansas City is people care about each other and they want to improve everyone's lives. And so I think I went from like 407 people last year to almost 900 people this year. And so it just shows that this thing is growing, and it's not about just me. It's about the city of Kansas City and how special a place it is.
Right now we're talking to Patrick Mahomes here for a few minutes. You mentioned growth. We have seen Chiefs fans go to opposing venues and sort of take it over. I don't think we've seen anything like we just saw on Sunday. It felt like a college coming to take over another team's home venue. It looked like it was 70-30, maybe 80-20 inside Allegiant Stadium on Sunday.
No, it was really cool to see. I mean, all that red in the away stadium. I mean, the Chiefs fans always travel well, but I think it was even more this last week. And so hopefully we can keep doing that. Obviously, we got the next two games at home. But as we keep traveling to other away stadiums, I hope the Chiefs Kingdom keeps traveling like that because it definitely gives us an advantage.
A lot of people want your thoughts, I guess, on the trade of DeAndre Hopkins. It happened right after the last time that you and I got to speak. How rewarding is it? How exciting is it that you guys finally got him? You guys have kind of flirted with DeAndre Hopkins. You brought him in for a visit a couple of years ago, and this time the deal came together.
Yeah, no, it's really cool. I mean, obviously a great football player, but I've built a great relationship with him, and he sees the football game. He sees the game of football a lot like I do, and you saw that in the little bit of opportunities that he got throughout the game this last game. And so I think as we continue to get him more and more involved in the offense, you're going to see how special of a football player he is. And he came here to win, and hopefully we can continue to do that. And he definitely has a good knack for getting open, which is going to help everybody on the football team.
You've communicated the respect that you have for him. How great is it that this is a guy that has never played with you before? I'm not sure what run-ins you guys had before him joining the team, but you can hear it in his voice that he has a great respect for you and what you guys as a team have been able to accomplish over the last few years.
Yeah, I mean, he's a great football player, and I think when you get guys that have played a lot of great football in their career, they want to continue to go for that next challenge. And for him, it's to win the Super Bowl, and that's everybody's goal at the end of the day whenever you play the game of football. And so I think he's excited to be here. I think if you watch the tape, he got open a lot this last week. I think seeing that on tape is going to give me the confidence to give him more and more opportunities to go out there and make plays.
A lot of conversation has been made about Andy's offense and how difficult it is to kind of learn on the fly. How difficult do you think it will be to kind of get him adjusted and get him acclimated into the offense in the middle of the season?
I mean, if it's anything like last week, I think it's gonna be easy for him. I mean, he's a very smart guy. He has a good understanding. He's played in multiple different offenses with multiple different quarterbacks, so he has a good understanding of how to just get himself open and be in the right spot. And I mean, we actually, I think last week we were even surprised by how fast he was picking up stuff. And so with a whole other week and an extra day, I think he's going to be fine to go out there and get a full amount of work in order to be a big part of this offense.
Patrick, certainly correct me if I'm wrong, but I just can't think of you guys having too many receivers like DeAndre Hopkins, a little bit bigger, more of a contested catch guy. Normally you guys like the, you know, 6'1", wiry kind of speedy guys, and that's not what he is. Is this a different receiver than you're kind of accustomed throwing to, or is there a comparison that you have?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a different receiver. I mean, he's kind of a one-of-one receiver when it comes to being able to catch the jump ball, being able to get himself open in space, be able to be one-on-one coverage. I mean, he's there's a reason that he's got all those all-pros, and he's always been a great receiver. But, I mean, he has a little bit of just kind of a mixture of a lot of guys that we have. I mean, Sammy Watkins, Juju, he's got the ability to win one-on-one like some other receivers that we had. I mean, it's hard to describe one guy because he's one of those type of receivers that only comes around once in a generation.
I saw that some of the other receivers were calling him Monk. I'm curious, how many more years in the league do you think it's going to be before there's going to be some young receiver that the Chiefs get and they're going to start calling you Unk?
It's not going to be many more. I mean, I'm still not very old. I mean, I'm only 29, but this is my eighth year in the NFL. So, I mean, a lot of these guys were in middle school or even low high school whenever I got in the NFL. So they've been seeing me play for a long time. So as the years go on here soon, they're going to be calling me Unk for sure.
Last couple questions here, Patrick, and I appreciate your time. I'm actually curious to get your opinion on this. You are somebody who your opinion, your voice matters. As you've sort of matured in your career, how do you make the determination of things that you want to speak up on?
I think it's just stuff that I feel like at that moment in time is something that I believe I need to speak up and use my platform. But, I mean, it's such a hard thing to decide and make those choices because it's not going to only impact you but your family as well and everyone that's around you. So you have to kind of weigh all those decisions and then decide if it's the right time to make your voice known.
You obviously know the climate that we're in, and athletes are speaking up just almost every day. Do you ever feel a pressure to speak up? Do you ever feel like an outside force that people are sort of looking for you to give your thoughts?
I don't know if it's necessarily a pressure. I mean, I understand the platform that I have, and I understand if I wanted to or not, what I say is gonna kind of be out there for everyone to see, and it could impact other people and how they think. But I think my goal is just to try to be the best person that I can be at the end of the day. And even though it might not be 100% with everybody and what they agree, I'm going to try to do whatever I can to make a positive impact in the world at the end of the day.
That is Patrick Mahomes joining us on the show today as we get you ready for Monday Night Football. Patrick, man, great stuff, man. I appreciate you.
Yeah, I appreciate you, man.
That's Patrick Mahomes talking with our colleague in Kansas City at 96.5 The Fan, Carrington Harrison, the weekly conversation they have. Chiefs play a Monday Night Football game, as alluded to just a moment ago, put their undefeated 7-0 record on the line as they match up against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. 7:15 kickoff coming up on Monday, and our coverage is going to begin at 6 o'clock. So we won't have a Graybar Sports Open Line for you on Monday. Actually, after today, we're not going to have a show again until Wednesday because Monday we'll have Chiefs Monday Night Football, and then Tuesday is election night, and we'll have coverage of that throughout the evening. So we'll have our next program coming up on Wednesday. Four straight days without a Sports Open Line. I don't know if I can deal with that, but I will, and we're going to have great stuff for you here on KMOX. All right, we're going to take a break, and speaking of great stuff, our good friend Rachel Zimmerman, she is going to join us coming up in just a moment to preview the Rachel Zimmerman Show, and we'll wrap up this edition of A Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Back at it, it's the Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. We are starting to wrap things up a little bit more from an hour from now. It is the Rachel Zimmerman Show. We always enjoy it when Rachel finds a little time to make her way into the studio before her show gets going in about an hour. She's with us right now. Hey, Rachel.
Hey, Matt.
How was your Halloween?
It was nice. It was very low key. You know, we celebrate pretty big on the Dave Glover Show with our programming. Yeah. But last night I just kind of chilled at home. It was really nice.
Do you have fun with what you guys did on, like, just kind of the creepy nature of the stuff? you guys do during the week?
Yeah, it's definitely like a highlight of the year. But it is a lot of stress, too. So it's always like, whew, whenever it's over. Now we just get to focus on the election. Sorry to bring it up. But yeah.
next Tuesday, well, hopefully it'll be over pretty soon after Tuesday. You've got a niece, correct?
I do. I have three nieces.
Do you ever do Halloween with them?
Yeah. A couple years ago, I went up when they were trick-or-treating. And I was like, you know, the fifth wheel at that point. So, but it was so fun. Like, it was so much just joy seeing them go from house to house. And I mean, what's better than that? I'm sure you experienced that with your daughters.
Yeah. So I grew up in a pretty religious household.
Same. I didn't trick or treat.
Neither did I.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So literally like a couple years ago when I lived in an apartment, not in St. Louis, like the apartment complex did like a trick or treat thing, but it was just a couple buildings. Like last night was the first time in my life, because we took my daughter over to one of her friend's house that's also a friend of the family, and they did like the whole neighborhood, house by house by house. And I realized it as I was walking and watching her. That was the first time in my life where I had like experienced the true trick-or-treating.
Well, congratulations. Was it fun?
Yeah. So I got a couple stories. First, have you heard about the potato thing?
No.
Okay. So there's this thing where it was almost like a social experiment where it's like, do you want candy or do you want a potato? And the people that I was with, we were actually talking about it before, and like, oh, I wonder if anybody's going to have the potato. One house had the potato where you could choose. My daughter was one of like six or seven kids in a group. My five-year-old daughter was the one daughter who chose the potato.
I'll take the potato over here.
So that's tonight my wife is going to make it for her. So
that's adorable.
Yeah. So my daughter chose the potato over chocolate. That's the first thing. If people have no clue what I'm talking about, go Google trick-or-treating potato and you can find all the details on it. It's a thing. And then we weren't home, so we left the bucket, you know, of candy on our front porch. And I went back and I went, you know, we have like a Ring camera on our front door. So I went back to see the kids, you know, picking up the candy because almost all of it was gone. I wanted to see how many kids actually came through. And towards the end of the night, a kid steps up to the bowl, picks up like everything in there, looks up, says, oh, they have a Ring camera, and drops the candy.
Wow.
And just takes a couple pieces and goes.
Wow.
Yeah. So the Ring camera saving candy for other people.
Yeah, he didn't want to get posted online.
Which I would never post a picture of like somebody else's kid, but that's one that I like. It was so funny. Like I wanted to share that, but obviously I'm not going to do that because it's not my place to do
it. That's awesome.
All right, so Rachel Zimmerman show tonight, 9:00. What do you have going on?
I have a very exciting show tonight. I have Naresh Kumar. He's an amazing person. He biked from India to Germany on a tandem bicycle. So he had strangers hop on the back of his bike, and the whole thing was to raise awareness for human trafficking. He has an incredible story. So he's my first guest. My second guest is actually a dream guest of mine, and that's Mr. Andy Cohen of Bravo fame.
Yeah.
And he's St. Louis's own. I got to talk to him. I went to the Lucas Kuntz rally a couple weeks ago specifically to talk to Andy and talk to him for about 6 minutes. So he's at the end of the show tonight. That was like a bucket list, like ultimate type of guest I could get on my show. So I'm very, very happy about it.
That is really cool. I've always hoped. So my wife loves Andy Cohen.
Oh, awesome.
And loves all the housewife shows and the Below Decks
Vanderpump Rules.
She doesn't
Southern
watch
Charm,
that one.
Summer House.
I don't know.
Okay. Give me your number. We'll talk.
Andy does. Is it What Happens?
What happens Live?
Okay. So and she likes that. My hope, because Andy pops in every once in a while, and I know like when the Cardinals are good, he's around, I think, a lot more. I've always hoped that like we've got that booth downstairs and people make their way in. I would love at some point for him to be in St. Louis, for me to meet him, and for me to be able to like FaceTime my wife unexpectedly with Andy Cohen. And I feel like at some point in time, his and mine's paths are going to cross.
It's
going to
happen.
We just need the Cardinals to be better.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And he lived up to expectations. I'm always nervous when I meet famous people. It's like, oh, I hope they're as nice as, you know, you want them to be. He was so incredible. I was so happy with our interaction. So he's a really nice guy.
Not to completely overshadow your first guest, but I mean, it is so much more common than I think people realize.
Absolutely.
And it is so scary. Like as a parent of a 5-year-old girl, I think about my growing up and just going outside and playing and being away. I don't know how I'm going to parent that because I am so afraid of the stuff, the evil stuff that happens in our world.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. And the thing I talk about with Naresh is just keeping your eyes out. And if you ever notice anything that seems suspect, always, always say something because you could save a life.
Rachel Zimmerman Show coming up this evening, 9 o'clock. Do you have any other replays over the weekend?
I think I'm on at 7 o'clock on Saturday, okay, too, if you want to catch it then.
And then podcast available?
It's up now.
Okay, very good. That's Rachel Zimmerman. Rachel, thanks for stopping in.
Thanks, Matt.
That's Rachel Zimmerman. I'm Matt Pauly. This has been a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com